We've got Gene Boldick here in the studio, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time for Thing Not a Thing, the game show in which we take a look at all the things that are getting people upset on social media this week, of which there are inevitably many, and we ask ourselves, is this a thing or is it not really a thing? We've got a lot this week.
Yeah, it's a target-rich environment this week,
It is really interesting.
Sorry for that reference.
Yes. It is really interesting that that the thing that people are talking about the most, and we'll get to other things as well, but the thing that people are talking about the most this week is the same thing that we were talking about last week, which is gun control, gun violence, the aftermath of the Parkland shooting. I was speaking with Tom Jensen yesterday of Public Policy Polling. We were talking about just sort of public opinion on that. And he mentioned something which really struck me, which is that it is really remarkable that this is still the top thing in the news more than a week later. This is in direct contrast to, and he was saying you can look at newspaper headlines from a week after Sandy Hook or a week after the Vegas shooting or a week after any of the other many mass shootings that grabbed the headlines initially. A week afterwards, they weren't at the top
of
the front page.
But they are now.
Now they are. That suggests that there's a tipping point, and that really suggests that there's a tipping point because we're in Trump's America where nothing stays at the top of the news cycle for more than 12 hours because something else crazy happens.
That fire hose continues to be wide open. And Nate Silver has measured stories, coverage, utterances on social media, and he verifies that as well.
Yeah. So the fact that this is now at the top of the news cycle for more than a week is significant in itself, and even more significant given the context.
And if you had a TV or a giant display that showed multiple channels of cable, you would see these kids from Parkland, who, by the way, are their school is opening today for teachers to return. I think the students go back next week, so they've been off school all week.
Right.
Of course, the crime scene.
How do you go back?
And part of what they're doing, I don't know when classes are restarting, but part of what they're doing is getting their logistics ready for kids to return to the site, to return to the school. That building will not be reopened.
Right.
They are talking about whether or not they'll do what they did at Sandy Hook, which is to just level the building and rebuild it, which seems like an extreme measure, but when you think about it, it's not.
It's not.
It makes sense. I mean, O.J. Simpson's house was torn down, even though a crime didn't occur there, just because that for the neighborhood it was so disruptive, and you have to think about this in that kind of context.
Well, the Pulse nightclub, too, is not reopening at that location, I don't think.
Right. And frankly, if I were them, I would change my name.
Yeah.
This is an amazing issue that what's happening here is that the kids have got hold of this, and these kids not only are totally owning the president on social media. I mean, I can't use the words that I want to use right now, so I'm struggling a little bit. But they have got Donald Trump running and hiding, in a manner of speaking, on social media on this issue. Every foolish thing that he says, he gets punched back by teenagers. And that's not only kind of a little bit fun to watch because they're so good at it. They're so smart. They're so well-informed, and they are so capable of this. But you know what, Aaron? Of course they are. Think about for the last 5 or 7 years, how much you've heard about cyberbullying, about kids, here's what you do with a cyberbully, here's how to take care of it, whatever, and that's what he is. And they know what to do.
Oh.
really, really payback, isn't it? Did you think about that?
No, I did not.
That is really something. We have talked about this a lot.
Yes, we have.
What do you do with that guy at school who just says stuff that's got no basis, and, how do you make it stop? Well, you just confront him with facts, and you come at him from every angle with civil behavior and facts, and invite him to sessions where he can learn more about it. And, eventually, if all he really wants to do is be a bully, he'll just move on.
Yeah.
And that's true. I mean, he has really been owned by these kids. That part is great.
That is correct.
But I'll tell you a wonderful thing I saw this morning was a slideshow of kids and demonstrations both at Parkland and in Washington and around the country. Enormous crowds. Very impressive and in absolutely inspiring crowds. And the sound that was laid over the top of this slideshow of these images was audio from Bobby Kennedy giving a speech in 1966. In 1966, saying young people will lead the way to ending apartheid and to standing up for their future and for justice and for seeking peace and having, you know, a better society, and that you will have to lead us. This is something that you must do.
Yeah.
And he was in South Africa
when
he did that. And nobody in Johnson's administration really wanted him to go, but he did. And he gave this great speech, and everything he said, and if you think about everything he did in 68, right up until he was murdered, all would fit right into what's happening now. This is the baby boomers are watching this, and I am, and your mom is, and we're saying, you know, we remember Vietnam, and we know how this ended, and how it ended was it looked like this when it started. It didn't have such a signature event to kick it off, and it didn't have anywhere near the effective communications technology available for demonstrators,
but it
looks really familiar.
And it grew. That's the key. I mean, I think there are a lot of examples of really significant immediate demonstrations and public actions, grassroots movements that got off the ground. They had events like this, and then they faded because it's really hard to sustain something this, and you need sustained activity in order to really make
a
difference.
That's right.
And it seems to be that in this case, like the people who are leading the way on this, the teenagers, the kids who are leading the way on this, are ready to sustain it. We'll
Fair
see,
enough, but, because they are the largest stakeholders in the whole thing, and they are the contingency, they are the constituency that we're talking about who are most directly affected. And they are concerned about their teachers and protecting them, too. So it's fascinating, and yet if you understand the viral quality of social media, then you understand that, of course, this is going to happen. Look what happened in the Arab Spring. This is exactly the type of quality to that kind of movement that makes it impossible to jump out in front of and say, I'm the leader of this. Black Lives Matter, same thing. They rejected the idea that any single person is the leader of that movement or the spokesperson for that movement. Occupy Wall Street, same thing. And that kind of fizzled out, unfortunately, Occupy Wall Street. But really, really interesting to watch. And I love that movement right there. I love seeing that blow up on social media. I hope that continues to get everybody upset on social media.
And I do think that sort of you went back to Occupy there. I've made the argument, and I'll continue to make the argument, that the difference between Occupy in North Carolina, at least in Moral Mondays, is that Moral Mondays was sustained in a way that Occupy was not. Both of them are grassroots movements that had a lot of ordinary people buying into it. In one case, leadership also bought into it as well. Public figures in a position of power and authority endorsed the Moral Monday movement in a way that they never did with Occupy.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And Occupy, I think Occupy, it's fair to say, was a movement that was about disruption and not per se these are our demands kind of agenda. It was just about stepping in and disrupting and sitting in the middle and saying, you know, you're just not going to do this without me sitting here. So, you know, there are many, many tactics that were used for Occupy that, in my opinion, over the next 6 months, you're going to see. I think you're going to see students. I'm just giving this as an example. I'm not telling anybody to do anything. But it's always been my thought that school board meetings should have students sitting in the middle of them. If you're going to make decisions that affect students, you should have them sitting right in front of you.
Yeah.
And I've thought for a long time that school boards, if they had a kindergartner sitting in the chair in the room during the meeting, they might make different decisions. And even if they can't have a kindergartner sitting there, if they had a little tiny chair to represent the kindergartner as their, you know, their, whatever it was, the Clint Eastwood, you
the
know,
empty chair,
empty chair stunt to represent that absent person, because they stay up later than kids
should.
It sets your frame of mind who you're talking about, that it's somebody who would fit in that little bitty chair.
Yeah.
So
what are the other things in the in social media this week?
I don't know. Is there anything else in social media? Oh, I know. I know one. This'll feed in well. You know, George Clooney kind of raised his hand and said that he and his wife, Amal, would give $500,000 to the kids who were going from Parkland, who were going to travel to D.C. for the march next month.
I did see that.
And then in about a hot minute, Oprah Winfrey raised her hand and said, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah,
me too. So, bang, there's $1 million.
There's $1 million, yeah.
So the next day, Steven Spielberg and Jeffrey Katzenberg both said, me too. Now it's $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, set your stopwatch, because in about 30 seconds, we're going to hear Fox News losing their minds about kids ripping off celebrities for their bleeding heart guilt money or whatever, that they're enriching themselves. That's going to be the accusations.
First,
accuse them of being actors. That was another thing that blew up. That thing about these kids are just crisis actors.
The best response to that that I saw, because obviously that's BS, the best response to that that I saw was someone saying, okay, so let's just clarify the argument here. This is a grand conspiracy of shadowy, unnamed figures with unlimited amounts of cash who are hiring actors in order to snow the entire American public into endorsing gun control for reasons that are unclear,
that are
but involve
reasons.
Tyranny of some kind. And it's this huge conspiracy, and everyone's keeping it a secret, and they have unlimited amounts of cash, but they can't be bothered to hire two different actors.
Well, no, that would just be too obvious, I guess. And they were also clever enough to hire these kids whose Twitter posts from February 13th and before are appropriately innocuous high school kids.
Of course.
I can't believe what happened at band practice, right? I mean, so, you know,
absolutely
nice try, I guess. Are we going to say that, really? Nice try?
No.
I don't know. No,
it's horrible,
not really.
But
more power to these kids. I think that they and their teachers have just been amazing for the last week. They're under an unspeakable kind of pressure, and I wish them all well. I just hope they don't exhaust themselves and just kind of burn out on the whole thing. But it's been really, really thrilling to watch how effective they are, how quickly. And I'm just like, you know, open the door for them. Let's go. I think they're going to turn Capitol Hill pink and blue, you know, in the fall. I think it's going to be Democrats. And I'm making this prediction today, Aaron Keck. Did you hit record on this show?
It's been recording for the last 14 minutes.
I'm making this prediction on this February day that the House of Representatives could be majority women next year. Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be a huge shift.
That would be a gigantic
shift.
That would be a gigantic shift.
You'd have to have.
Oh my goodness.
God, that would be huge.
An estrogen-rich environment. That's right.
About time, right?
So you have this radical prediction on your program, and
got it.
And everybody's going to say, "Man, that Aaron Keck,
How but they won't
he,
say that, Aaron
How does
Keck.
He do it? How does he do it?
You're the one who made the prediction. If you got it right, I'm giving you 100% of the credit,
okay,
as
take,
well
I,
you
I'll
should
take
get
it.
It.
I'll
yeah.
take it, and I'll take it. That's because that's how I am.
Who's on the water cooler this week?
Well, this guy you never heard of. His name is McPherson Stutz. No, it's Ron Stutz.
Ah,
it just
Ron
sounds
Stutz.
Like that. Yeah, it's part two of stuff you never knew about Ron Stutz. And I have, I mean, I teased out this most amazing anecdote that he says, at least, he's never told this story
oh.
on the air. And it's a really, really interesting story. Wow.
I
wow.
am intrigued. What
wow.
time of day this is?
This is on, you know, nighttime, daytime, anytime, 1 p.m. and 8, and rerun at 8 p.m. Don't miss it. It's Ron Stutz as you've never heard him before.
Love it. Gene Bolduc, host of the Weekend Water Cooler. This is Thing Not a Thing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.